Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The following is a special KMOX presentation. Welcome to Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary. Sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects. Shape the inspired. On the voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
My name's Charlie Brennan. I'm with KMOX Radio, and I'm proud, along with everyone else at KMOX, to be partnered with our sister stations, Y98 and 102.5 KEZK, to bring this really special evening to St. Louis, featuring the one and only John O'Leary. We invite you to sit back and get inspired about where you are in life and where you are in the world right here in St. Louis, Missouri. And we are honored to have as our featured speaker tonight, the one and only and a dear friend of mine, Mr. John O'Leary.
Nothing good.
You're awesome. Thank you, Charlie.
It is such an honor to have 759 friends gathered in St. Louis tonight to celebrate not only our city, our region, Charlie Brennan, our radio, but our lives. And in spite of some challenges that I and we and all of us face, the truth that the best is yet to come. I'm thrilled, honored, and delighted to be with you. I found myself 30 years ago in a very different setting. There was no Charlie Brennan. There were no bright lights. There were not 759 or so friends gathered around. Instead, I was in a wheelchair after being burned on 100% of my body, on morphine, wrapped in bandages, in the same room at St. John's Mercy that I'd been hanging out in for the previous 5 months. And then I hear Dad's voice down the hallway. And my dad, speaking to a nurse, said, "Is he ready? Is he ready?" What my dad was really wondering is his little boy, age 9, named John, after being burned so terribly and given no chance to survive, is he ready to go home? And I wasn't sure what the nurse might say back. There had been several false starts. So I remember hanging out in that little wheelchair on morphine. Morphine is like true serum. It's powerful stuff. So I yelled out of the doorway, "Yes, he's ready. Come get him, Dad." And I hear my dad's big, heavy footsteps coming closer and closer. He opens up the doorway. I don't see Dad first. I see a red wheelbarrow. He pushes this wheelbarrow in, and the wheelbarrow is full of champagne and Lifesavers. The champagne was not for me. I see several of the folks in the balcony judging. It was not for me. No, champagne and morphine, does that make? No, it's not for me. It's for the staff. It's for the servants. It's for the men and women who make their lives about something bigger than themselves, which at the end of the day is why we gather tonight, to celebrate the beauty of that and the possibility of that truth within all of our lives. My dad set the wheelbarrow down. He walked back over to me, put his hands on my legs, looked me in the eyes, and said, "John, you did it. You did it, man." And as a little guy on morphine, true serum, I looked back at my dad and said, "Yes, I did. I'm the man. Yes, I did." But my friends, on September 14th at about 7:11, with a full theater, I can say with absolute certainty how little I actually did as a 9-year-old, as a burn victim, as a survivor, or in the 3 decades since. Your speaker, and there are several tonight, but one of your speakers turns out that his life is proof of the power of love and grace and what happens when people work together for things bigger than themselves. So I'm tickled that my dad bought the booze and the lifesavers to celebrate those doctors and nurses. And yet what I know as we look ahead at our journeys and our lives and our work and our finances is that it won't always be easy. Have any of you ever had a bad day? Fred? No one else, just Fred. One person out of 759 has had a bad day. Okay. When we struggle, St. Louis, not if. When we struggle individually, in our families, with hurricanes, with storms, with floods, with fires, with cancer, with bankruptcy, with loss of any variety, when we struggle, and when we choose to play victim to it, and it is a choice, what is our favorite question to ask? How'd you know? Because we've all been there. So tonight, before Brian comes out and before Jason comes out and before we start rocking this piano and this theater, I'm going to give you three questions to stop asking. In this region, in this country, with that sunshine, with the heat coming back, with the Cardinals winning today, let's not be victims to circumstances. So first question to be done with is why me? The second question, equally powerful in a negative way, is who cares? It's the great question of indifference, and it always leads to death. Who cares? Who cares? If you have a teenager at home, you've likely heard it recently. But it's not only reserved for kids. I think it's a question from time to time we've all found ourselves asking, with our arms crossed and our minds shut down and our hearts a little bit cold. Who cares? Like, really, who cares? It's why, by the way, less than 40% of your neighbors voted in the last election. And now a whole lot of folks complain. And before you think I'm knocking President Trump, had Hillary won, the vast majority of your neighbors who stayed home would complain. They didn't like her or him. They didn't like Obama or Bush. They haven't seen a good president since Washington. Okay, it's been a while. We won't ask this question. So we're not going to ask it tonight. The third question, though, I think that victims love to ask is, what more can I do? I'm only one person. It's a big theater. It's a big problem. It's a big whatever. What more can one little person do? Tonight, friends, celebrating our lives and the possibility within in them, we are going to be asking three completely different questions. Questions I'm utterly convinced will breathe life and possibility into your journeys. Positive. The first question that we victors in this room love to ask every day, we greet the rising sun with it, it's a great one, is why me? Why am I so lucky? Why am I so blessed? Why did we get to watch the sunrise this morning? I'm not sure how many of you saw it, but it was stunning. Why me? Eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to feel and minds to think and create and connect. Why me? St. Louis or Illinois? I understand folks came as far as California for tonight. Thank you, Mike. Why me? Doesn't he ever come out here? We in this room realize how fortunate we are. I think it's why you voted to show up with your presence, and I'm grateful for it. So is everybody around you. Why me? It's a great question. It leads directly to us getting out of bed, making our way toward that shower, grabbing a silver nozzle, turning that thing upright, and every morning something miraculous happens. What happens? Water! Isn't that awesome? Give me a couple adjectives for the water. Wet. Okay, the water is wet. Boom! Yes, it is wet. What else is the water? It's clean. Yes, it is. Someone said cold and someone else said hot. And this may cause you to laugh or to yawn, but if it causes either, it's because you've never traveled outside of the United States. Because almost anywhere else in the world, they would be shocked to know you grab a handle and hot, clean water comes out, and it's wet. Let that blow you away tomorrow. Truly, let it stun you. Let it overwhelm you with how fortunate we are. And as you step into that shower, let it uncross your arms and open up your minds and free you to ask the second best question, which of course is, who cares? If it's hard, if there's challenges, if we're still three back behind those darn Cubs, who cares? We do work, we lead lives, we matter. We know it. So our arms are uncrossed as we actively progress through our days, ultimately finishing strong by asking the third and the final question. What do you think the third question might be? Just, no one knows. Okay, let me put it on the screen. This is a great audience. I'm glad you're all here. What more can I do? Do you see a similarity between the two sets of questions? Yes or no?
Yes.
It turns out that the way we ask these questions inform what we see, how we feel about it, what we think about it, which is different, the words we speak around it, the actions we take, and the results we get. It's a big deal, our perspective in life. Don't give that up to anybody else. You own that one. So tonight, St. Louis and KMOX listeners and fans and followers, we are going to be asking three questions, not as victims. Why would we? But as victors. You ready? Yes or no?
Yes.
Here we go. Question number one. Anybody remember what number one is?
Why me?
Why me? Why me? Looking back on your lives, have you ever done anything that you now realize was a big mistake? Yes. I think that was my dad who just said yes. We'll talk about that one later. For those who chose not to participate, looking back at last night, did you do anything that was a big mistake? I mean, we do things all the time that are errant. When I was a kid, I grew up 17 minutes or so from where we are seated tonight. So if you traveled from California, I understand folks came from both Springfields and beyond. We're glad you're here. Welcome to our home. I saw little boys when I was 9 years old playing with fire and gasoline. What these little men would do is they would sprinkle some gasoline on a sidewalk, strike a match, stand back 2 feet for safety. Okay. Extremely risk averse. Throw the match on top, and the liquid puddle would dance to life. When you're nine, and you're a male, this is awesome. It's like Harry Potter, boom, and it's alive. And these are men you look up to. They're almost 11. And you think, if they can do this and get away with it, what's the next sentence? So can I. Which is powerful language when you're following the right leader. Truly. And yet, when you're following the wrong one, it can take you right off the ledge. That weekend, I'm following the wrong ideas. My mom and dad are gone. I walk into their garage. I bend over a can of gasoline. You know what's about to go down here. Light a piece of cardboard on fire, can in my right, start to tip and to pour, and before the liquid comes out, what shows up first? Fumes. The invisible stuff. In life, and in relationships, and in health, and with our finances, with our country, with our global marketplace, it's very seldom what you see coming that burns you. It is almost never liquid that will burn you. It's almost always fumes. And if you don't realize the truth behind that, look no farther than September 11th, 16 years ago. No one saw it coming. It was the fumes that we weren't looking for. And yet when you look for them and you harness them as a group, you can use them for good, not bad. That day, though, those fumes came out of that can, created a massive, mighty explosion, split the little can in two, picked me up, and launched me 20 feet against the far side of the garage. When we were little, we were taught and trained what to do when we're on fire. What are we supposed to do, class?
Stop, drop, and roll.
What do you actually do when you're on fire? Why aren't those the same answer, class? And if you don't know, let me give you what I think is the reason. We train up here. Take notes. It's on the test. all up here. But then you lead and you serve and you inspire and you connect and you impact from a much more sacred source. We need our minds, and yet our minds are hollow without our hearts. Part of the gathering tonight is to make sure that the two become one. That day, I just took off running. I was scared, quite literally, for my life. So I panicked and ran. One moment, I'm a happy and healthy, and I'm going to zoom in for the folks gathered all around, but in particular those in the back. I want you to see nice and clear, extremely good-looking. Okay. I see a lot of you nodding your heads in agreement. Good. Bangs like that. Okay, that is either a laser level or what else might it be? A bull, okay? And that little white thing below his neck, what's that called? It's not a turtleneck. It's a freaking dickie. Yes, it is. Some of you don't even know what a freaking dickie is, okay? Charlie Brennan has no clue what a freaking dickie is, so I'm just gonna tell you. It's the top part of the turtleneck, okay? Don't Google that. You don't want to find yourself on that site. But look, the tree's up and the ornaments are hung and the presents have come. And my mom and dad are together. And I'm one of six and we have a golden retriever in the backyard. And we live in town and country and everything's perfect. It's all good. And then it all changed. And if you ask yourself, what's the common denominator in this room? It's the fact that each of you have survived a storm. All of you. All of us. It's a unifier, actually. We may not talk about it, but it is a unifier. The storm came. And then what? Tonight, I'm going to show you one hard picture. You may want to shut your eyes for a moment. But I found myself on my back as a 9-year-old in St. Louis, with burns on 100% of my body, 87% were a third degree. I'm laying in this room at mercy, looking up at the bright light with one very clear thought. Oh my gosh. My dad is what? Have you guys all met my dad? Because that's him, right? I mean, that's my dad. You don't need to know my dad to know this truth. How many of you had a disciplinarian growing up? Hey, a little higher, please. Thank you. Did you ever sail a ball through a kitchen window? Woo! You came home with a bad report card? You skipped class? For a semester? The little things would trigger dad? Well, what's he going to do when you blow up his house? Dad's going to kill you, boy. I knew my dad was going to kill me. I hear his voice, the echo of the lion coming toward me, and it says loud and clear, "Where is my boy, John?" And I'm back there in the room, still looking at the bright light, thinking, oh my gosh, the old man has come to finish me off. It's over. And this nurse does me no favors at all. She brings my dad back into this room, and he was old. He was 41. Is 41 old, yes or no?
No!
When you were 9, was 41 old?
Yes!
Okay. So it turns out age has a lot to do with perspective. So do challenges, America, please. So do challenges. We're so fortunate. You're in this room tonight. What a gift. My dad came in. I knew he was old, and I knew for sure he was mad. He walks over to me, points down, and very, very firmly says, "John, look at me when I'm talking to you." Dang it. So I look up at my dad, and he says, "I have never been so..." What's the word?
Proud.
Proud. Of anybody in my entire life, and my little buddy, today, I am just proud to be your dad. And then he says, I love you. I love you. I love you. So as a 9-year-old little kid, man, on morphine already, hearing this, I remember thinking, oh my gosh, nobody told my dad what happened. He doesn't know. And then my next thought was, I wonder if I can get away with it. Do you think my dad knew what happened, yes or no?
Yes.
And in all likelihood, there was some anxiety and anger and fear and a whole lot of emotions stirring all the way up until the moment when he pulls back this curtain, looks around it, and sees any parent's worst nightmare. His baby with burns on 100% of his body. He had 6 kids, but that was his favorite one. And dad changed and remains so, as we must all. Every morning, my friends, I believe we wake up as the alarm clock buzzes in our ear and we all ask the same question, all of us. We all do. Oh, why me? I got a struggle that nobody else knows about. My life hasn't gone exactly like I'd planned. The Cardinals aren't in first place. Why me? Why me? But on September 15th, early, when we wake up tomorrow and each day thereafter, let's make sure we own the way with which we ask this question. Why me, man? I'm still in the game. I get to live here. We get to be inspired and to inspire those around us. What a gift. So tonight, rather than me talking with you or at you for 2 hours, or rather than Jason and then Brian coming up and sharing their stories with you, periodically we're going to pause for a moment so you can make the story yours. So right now I would like 700 plus strong to just sit back and relax and ask the question, why me? And with a victor's mindset, start answering with the words, I am grateful for who or what? What gifts, what struggles, what anniversaries, what dates? I am grateful for who or what? And as you get to the end of it, I'll give you 60 seconds to make your list. Longest list will win. Add a name to it. One name. One person who inspires you to become the best version of yourself. Just one. I could make a long laundry list of names. You heard a little bit about my dad. We could go into much greater detail. But enough of my dad. I'm going to go back just a little bit farther, one more slide to this one, to talk a moment about my mom. I'm from this region. If you're not, welcome to it. People from St. Louis can be a little strange, though. In particular in the 80s, it was a strange time. My mom and dad thought it was cool back then to not only wear the exact same shirt as one another, but also to cut their hair in the exact same... And this is like so awkward, but we're not doing Q&A tonight. And if this is a question you wish you had an answer, I'll give it to you. That is my mama on your left. Okay. It's okay. A lot of people were with you. They didn't know either. And my daddy on your right. My heroes. As a 9-year-old, my heroes 4 decades into life. They're my heroes. Best story I think that sums up my mom. There are many. But I found myself home from the hospital on a Tuesday now. I'm at home on a Tuesday. Life is good. I made it. My siblings are all at school. I'm getting the attention from my mom. It's perfect. No school, only mom. The dog's here. And then the doorbell rings. My mom leaves the kitchen table. She walks over to the front door, answers it. I hear her say hello, and right away I recognize the lady's voice. Mrs. Bartello. What's she doing here? She's our piano teacher. I know she's not here for me. Okay, I hated her and what she taught before I got burned. Being on morphine without fingers wasn't helping her cause. But all 5 of my siblings were in school. Why is she here? So my mom brings her in. I'm not sure why. She walks into the kitchen. I remember looking at my mom and saying, hey, why is she here? And you want to hear my mom's answer? It's awesome. Listen to it. Listen. She unhooks the brakes on my wheelchair and starts rolling me away from the kitchen table. There were no words exchanged. We could riff on this one all night. We won't. We'll have you come back next year for it. Bring a friend. Let's pack this place. She unhooks the brakes on my wheelchair and starts rolling me from the kitchen table, from my pity party, through the family room, all the way into the living room, where there's this lady seated already on our bench, and my mean mom is about to make me take piano class. I hate my mom, okay? She's gonna go public with it. And the only time maybe I disliked her more was the following Tuesday when I was happily hanging out at a kitchen table, and then the doorbell rang, and Mrs. Bartello came, and I got to spend the next 30 minutes learning piano with Mrs. Bartello without fingers. I hate my mom for 5 years. But today, if you ever come visit me, I live way out in Webster Groves. You'll find a man who is happily married. You'll find a guy who owns a piano. And you'll find four little kids who hate their dad. Because they're taking lessons too, man. While you're applauding this. So right now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'd like you to do is to forget about mom for a moment, forget about her son for a moment, forget about the traffic you sat in on the way down here, or the heat that made you sweat as you waited outside. Forget about the stress and the struggles and the challenges. And for a moment, ask this question as a victor. Why me? Why me? And then answer it. I am grateful for. And as you come to the end of that list, you'll have 59 seconds. Add one name to it. Just one name. You'll need it. Okay? One name. While you make your list, what I'm going to do is play one of my mom's and one of her father's favorite songs. So I'm going to sit down behind this big old piano. What I would do if I were you right now is I would lower my expectations. Okay? Of your piano player tonight, but I would heighten them for myself. For you. I would hide in them for my life. Why not? So I'm going to play one of my mom's favorite songs, one of my grandfather's favorite songs. And while I play, your job is to be answering the question, why me? What are you grateful for? So that is for my mom. We may talk about her one more time as the night wraps up, so hang on for that. But believe it or not, it's not about Susan or Denny O'Leary or their boy or their five others who they love equally, trust me. It's about you. And it's sometimes about being bold enough to share who you are with those around you. So in a moment, I'm going to be taking a big drink of this vodka tonic. I'm with the band, okay? Vander Ark Parties. It's just part of his drink. And while I take a sip, what I'd like you to do is to prepare yourself to share the question on the screen with the lady, the gentleman, the friend, the spouse, the partner, the relative, the utter stranger seated closest to you, which I get. That's awkward. So I'm going to help you guys and you ladies break the ice. Whatever I say, just repeat after me. Hi.
Hi.
This is awkward for me, too. Look at me when I'm talking to you. Look at me when I'm talking to you. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Nothing. And one person who inspires me to become the best version of myself. So for 60 seconds, forget about stress. Grab a friend, grab a stranger. There's only one rule tonight, my friends. You can't do this by yourself. It doesn't work. And it doesn't work in life either. So let's practice tonight in the safety of the Sheldon Concert Hall what we will model out there in the marketplace. Grab a friend, share the love, and then listen to theirs. You got 60 seconds. Quick share. Quick share. All right, leaders. Ladies and gentlemen, that's enough love. Enough. Was that so painful? I know many of us were dreading the idea of sharing, and then you open up, and you have someone else open up next to you, and it's actually awesome. It's awesome. Turns out, I'm not the only one with a story. We all have one. It's just frequently not the story we're telling the world. So how cool the broadcaster is, just a little bit tonight. The first question of the evening was, why me? The second question that we're going to spend a little bit of time on as we uncross our arms and open up our hearts and our lives is, what?
Who cares?
Who cares? Who cares? What stock are we tracking up here? Oh, you knew it, huh? I have a colleague at work who I just saw sit down. Her name is Abby Richter. She's pregnant currently. She's due in November, so let's give her a big hand. This is not her, by the way. She would kill me if I did that to her. But this is not a stock at all. It's the baby's heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. Well, what's the bottom one tracking? Contractions. Oh, flat line, not too bad. And then it starts to spike. And it's painful, from what I understand. And then the lady looks to the guy for a little bit of help. There we are. Okay. Nothing. I got nothing for you, Beth. Nothing. Lamont's did not work. I had no idea what to say or do. So she stops looking at me, and she starts looking for the expert, the person in the room who actually knows what's going on. And that person is also tracking that line. And when they see it start to spike, they always say a four-letter word. Not the one you're thinking. Push. Push. And then if it's a really intense one, this is what they say. It's strange. Oh, good, it's a big one. Push. The reason that the lady, the soon-to-be mama, is able to push through that pain is because she knows where this thing's going. And she knows that ultimately it may be a struggle, it may be a street fight, and it's completely worth it. It's completely worth it always. There's a quote that I encourage you to grab onto tonight. It's from Viktor Frankl. Frankl wrote, "When you know your why, you can endure anyhow." When you know your why, at any stage in life, whatever you're going through, when you know your why, you can endure anyhow. And yet our why, as we continue through the storms of our lives, we can't do it by ourselves. We need those around us in life. We need family. We need community. We need team. We need sponsorship. We need love. We need faith, I think. We need others. We need others. Tonight we have the great fortune of hearing from a new friend of mine. His name is Jason Bachman. My friends at Big Brothers Big Sisters are the first ones who made me aware of Jason's story. They told me a little bit about it over coffee, and it blew me away. And planning for tonight, we were trying to think of who can we bring out here that will help us elevate not only the way we can go through our struggles, but how we can encourage those around us to also endure better theirs. There is no one better than Jason Bachman.
Stay tuned. More of Live Inspired, An Evening with John O'Leary, coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Live Inspired, An Evening with John O'Leary, sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects, Shape the Inspired, on KMOX.
So I invite you, my friends, to welcome aboard to this stage our newest friend, your next speaker, my buddy, the owner of Strange Donuts, Jason Bachman. Big hand, please.
Get him up, baby.
Have fun, man.
I don't do this often. I got asked to speak, and I found out it was for Big Brothers Big Sisters, so I said yes. I was sitting here freaking out. I swear I didn't make any notes, and I was like, before I came up, I was like, all right, dude, what am I going to talk about? Why me? I swear to God, who cares? And what more can I do? I'm not lying at all. Those are the three things. And he's hammering on him, and I'm like, I'm doing it anyways, man. I don't care. And then he turned it into a good thing, so whatever. I'll tell you why me. I still, when I get asked to do stuff still, I always say, why me? And because there's still like a part of me that, I'm like this Hoosier, you know, and St. Louis, you know, and I'm no good, whatever. There's like, there's still these tapes in my head. But then I'm like, I turn it around and I say, why me? Because I'm going to kill it for these people, you know, I'm going to give them what they came for. And I'm going to make them feel good, and they're going to laugh a little bit. And that's why me. And then why me, too, because for Big Brothers Big Sisters. So, like, I'll tell you a story about me. Is I got tried as an adult for some pretty serious crimes when I was 14 years old. It wasn't the first time that I had been locked up. I was first time I was 11, and it was for some violent stuff. So, kind of like, I'm a Hoosier, you know, and I fight a lot. And where I come from, when you're scared, you make someone afraid, you know, and that's how I grew up, and it just progressed in my life. So I'll tell you what happened. So I went into the court, 14 years old, sort of tried as an adult. Here's some sentencing, and I'm walking out, and I walked in with no handcuffs on, and I'm walking out, and this guy, who had spent a little bit of time with me, said, hey, can I talk to him real quick? And he grabbed me by my shoulders, and he looked at my eyes, and he was like, things are bad for you right now. They're going to be bad for a while, but at some point it's going to be better. And I've been there. And then I left. And that guy was my big in Big Brothers Big Sisters. And this guy never talked to me about me and what I was doing. He would, he took me to Steak and Shake the first time, and there was a Steak and Shake, I don't know, a mile from my house. I never went to it. We didn't eat out a lot, and I got high before he showed up. And the we went to Steak and Shake. I was like, man, this is my best friend, dude. And so I'm crushing steak burgers and cheese fries. I was like, man, this Big Brother Big Sister stuff's all right. I didn't care that I was hanging out with a stranger. And the I just sat there, and he knew, you know. And then that happened the next time. And the guy started, like, winning my trust, and I liked hanging out with him, and he didn't talk to me about me, he talked to me about him, you know? This is my experience. And once he took me to this place, and it was like a long-term facility, he had been in trouble, he's like, I grew up here in this group home, and I had been in group homes. He's like, I grew up here, and my life changed, and I think that if you keep going the way that you are, you'll probably be in places similar to this, but worse. And he's like, but my life is good now, and you see that, right? So it was important for me to see this guy. I'm like, yeah, whatever, dude, can we go get a Steak and Shake? And the once he came to pick me up, and I was like, hardcore, you know? He came to pick me up, and he drove this beater minivan, And I saw the minivan coming on the street, and I'm jumping. I was jumping up and down. I'm like, I'm about to get a steak burger. And the and it was this lady, some old lady. You know, I like stopped in front of her car, and I went to get in her car, and she's looking at me. And I was so glad it wasn't him, because it caught me off guard, and I didn't want him to know I was excited to see him, right? So that happened. I leave the court, right, after he says this to me. And I leave the court, a kid, I'm 14. I go into this other room, and then they put you, like, prone in this chair, and you lean your head against the wall, and your knees are on, and they shackle me, and they take me with adults, right? And I was about as big as I am now. You see me, I'm Diesel, right? And the... I was a big kid, and I could fight, and I was terrified in there, man. And I stayed locked up for a long time. At the time, I mean, I was like two and a half years in and out, and I don't know, man. I just it really was burnt into my head that this is the way my life is going to be forever. And I quit going to school in eighth grade. I went to school for, I don't know, a month or so in ninth grade, but I didn't have an education, and I just thought this is what it's going to be like, and that was what it was like for a lot of my friends. I'll tell you a story about that. One of my friends called me last night. He just got out of prison, one of my oldest friends. And I'll just tell you now, he's like, what do I do? And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. This is what I did, you know? And how that flips. There's this prayer that I really like, and some people might know it, but it says, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, right? And so this becomes not about me anymore, or being nervous to like, oh my God, he's stealing like the things I'm going to talk about. It becomes about like, is there, are there people that I can help, right? So what happened with me in like no short order is like there were some people that took interest in me and invested in me and let me know that who cared they did and I matter, right? And so I got a GED and I got sober and I went to Merrimack and I was in these classes that were like special education classes. It was like, if you have 3 red crayons and 4 blue crayons, how many total crayons do you have? And I'm like, I swear, that was the math I was in. And there was like more people with helmets in the class than without. I'm not lying. And I was not getting 100%. I was not doing so well. And I don't know, man, I'd leave there so defeated, you know. I'd cry and I'm like, I'm just gonna sell crack. And this is way easier. And this guy would tell me, he'd be like, you know, walk with your chest out and your head up. You're a good person now. And it didn't matter like how long I had been a good person for. Right now I'm a good person, right? So he told me to do that. I went through school and like fast forward a little bit. I went from like not being able to do simple math. I started this hot dog vending business. And I applied the things that I learned in school to this hot dog vending business and ended up like doing really well. And relatively, right? And for me, relatively, like I had the first night I went out, I came home with a pillowcase full of money, right? I dumped it out on the living floor and I just looked at it and I was like, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. The next time I went out, I made $87. And I was like, for a second, I was like down. And then I swear, the sun came over, like past this bridge and shined on the $87. And I was like, this $87 didn't exist. I created a bucket to catch this $87, right? And we blew that thing up and it was awesome. And I ended up going to UMSL and graduating like top 5% of my class. I went to, it gets way better. I went to, because I want to talk about some wins, I think it's important, but I went to China for school, right? I speak Chinese, and I went to grad school at WashU. I started a company, right, that, thanks. If you leave this building and you see any of the dormitories at SLU, or you drive home and you pass WashU, all the furniture and the mattresses in those buildings came from my company, right? And We started this company called Strange Donuts, and it's like just gone crazy. And like the cool thing about some of the stuff that we do is I was like, I get a chance now to like be really personal with my business, right? And one of parts of it is it's called Strange Cares, and we raise money and give scholarships to kids coming out of Big Brothers Big Sisters, Girls on the Run, and Children's Heart Foundation, right? And I don't have long to talk, but I want to talk about some super personal stuff. But I like some of the other wins, like I have kids, I have a beautiful wife, I have a cute dog named Gus, I have all the stuff, but I also have this little brother named Donovan, right? And I met Donovan when he was 5 years old, and he's just become part of my family, so much so that, I don't know, it was like 3 years into us hanging out, it was for my birthday, and we went to this Mexican restaurant, and he starts looking around. And he was like, he came over to me, he was like, he tugged on me, and he was like, hey, dude, your whole family's white. And I was like, yeah, they're white, I'm white. And he was like, my wife's Hispanic. And he's like, he looked at me again one time, he's like, man, you're white. And I was like, yeah. I was like, what are you? He's like, I'm black. And I was like, what's Yudi? And he was like, puzzled, he's like, Yudi's gray, right? And anyways, man, what happened with that kid is like, I'm not like trying to take any credit or anything like that by any means, but again, like, I think that he knows my story now. We've been together 6 years, and the impact it's had on my life is amazing. We went to, when the Rams were here, who cares that they're gone, whatever, I'm not sure. But it's been 14 years without a football team, right? But this guy, we're watching, and he's physically gifted. I mean, he's crazy fast, and I was watching him, or watching the football game, and I was like, hey, man, all those guys down there are physically gifted. That's just the way it is. And I was like, you're physically gifted. Those guys studied hard. They went to school, and now they get paid a lot of money to play this sport that they love. I think that you can do that. And he looked at me, and he's like, you think I can do that? And I was like, I know you can do that. And he's like, this little bit of belief, this little bit of a push, some continued encouragement, and it's like the fourth year in a row that he's placed like top three in the United States in track. He's a like football star. His grades went from like D's to A's and B's, and he's just part of my life, and I love him. And so, why me? I'm here because maybe you get something from that. So that's why me. Why me? Why not? Right? I have a victorious story. Who cares? I do. And then what more can I do? I don't know. I spoke to a crowd about this big once, and it was with Adam Wainwright. And that was pretty tight. And we're talking about Big Brothers Big Sisters, and this girl's like, but what are we gonna do about all the violence in our community and racism? And I was like, dude, you're sitting in the middle of the answer and you just wanna talk about the problem. If you wanna do something, sign up. If not, like, I don't have time for it, you know? But I wanna make an ask. So it's 4 hours a month, that's it. I spend more time on Instagram a day, right? And there's people outside, there's 2,000 kids on a waiting list, and all they really want is someone to say, I think you can, you know, like that guy did for me. And so I want to ask you guys to do that. And it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from, what you look like, what you have to offer. It really is just some encouragement. And I think I'm just about done. I just want to say thank you. I appreciate it. And I hope you guys all have a good night.
Stay tuned. More of Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects, Shape the Inspired, on KMOX.
I believe between physical and emotional struggle, it is far, far easier to overcome physical. Far easier. When you don't have the family structure, and you don't have anybody that believes in you, and you've gone down the wrong path, and you are in a penitentiary, your life seems over. And for this kid to come out of that, to make something remarkable out of his life, to have a dog named Gus, which is, forget about the kids and the little and all that. How amazing. And it doesn't happen without someone investing in him, which is what I've also received and what I think each of us in this room have also received. Let me advance one more slide to my yacht. There it is. This was an old boat we used to go out with our pastor. His name was James Pieper. We called it the Num Nums. Father Pieper took me out one day, and he allowed me to bring a dear friend. So I brought a little friend. And his name is Travion. I am also big, and so is my wife, and this is our little. We got matched when he was about 11 years old, and when we matched with Trey, he was getting D's. Subsequently, over the 8 years or so that we got to just go to Steak and Shake and have cheese fries together, he graduated grade school. He graduated high school. He went on, became a pastor. He's currently a pastor in Atlanta, Georgia. This little dude is on fire. And it was not an easy journey, but he's made it. He has summited the peak. He's made something out of his life. He's a special kid. I'm lucky to be his friend and his brother at this point. And my wife and I were lucky not only to be matched with him, but to be changed by him. Candidly, the reason why we joined Biggs was to do something good in our community. Exactly what Jason just said. I hate racism. I hate poverty. I hate the brokenness of our community. And I don't know how to fix it macro-wise. I'm not that bright. I didn't go to Wash U. They won't even call me back. I still count colored crayons, and I think I'm doing all right. But I do know 1 + 1 = change. And if something around this city bothers you, you can complain. Have at it. You will be joined by the masses. Or you can get after it. And one life by one life, you can change it. If you want to be part of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, step in. If there's another charity on your hearts, a way that you can make a difference as a big in some other organization, go for it. Go for it. So who cares? We do. I think each of us do. But by a show of hands, well, before I get there, first thing first, we have some things available for you tonight that I think you'll really enjoy. First and foremost, a gift from Jason Bachman of Finest Wheat. Donuts, baby! So as you leave, if you're hungry or thirsty or you need some sweets and Steak and Shake might be closed, these donuts are available in the lobby. They're bagged, they're stickered, they're delicious, and they're ready for you. Do yourself and your belly a huge favor. If you've never had a strange donut, you'll never not go back. It's phenomenal. We love it. So grab yourself a donut on the way out. That's number one. Secondly, while you're grabbing a donut, you'll see some of our merchandise. You'll see a book. I'm going to go back one slide. How many of you have ever read a book called On Fire by a show of hands? That's awesome. Almost half the room. But it also means half have not, which is unacceptable. I mean, humbly. So the book On Fire is available tonight. My mom and dad's remarkable, game-changing book. If you've never read a beautiful book called Overwhelming Odds, it is also available. There's a DVD. There are CDs. There are T-shirts. There are donuts. 100% of the dollars that you leave on that table are going to Big Brothers Big Sisters tonight. There is no profit play here. There's no revenue we're taking. So I ask you, even if you've read it or you have four at home and you don't even know where you're going to give those four, invest in our community. Everything you leave behind tonight gets passed directly on to my favorite charity. So I am lucky, like Jason, to have been dramatically impacted by it. How many of you, by a show of hands, own a cell phone? 11. Okay, so it is a start. If you have your phone, you'll need it for this activity. There's an old author and speaker who went by the name Zig Ziglar. My buddy. Ziglar wrote that motivation and inspiration last as long as your most recent shower. That's not very long. So what I'm hoping each of you will do right now, if you have a cell phone and the ability to do it, is I'd like you to text me your email address. My number by the way, text me your email at 314-626-4421. 314-626-4421. Dial away, baby. Text me your email address. And we're going to start doing life together. I love the beeps. Keep the beeps coming. The very first opportunity, of course, will be to continue the movement, to continue the inspiration you're feeling tonight, to remain lit up and on fire for your lives. We call it the In Studio. It's a way that we can stay engaged and in touch. We send out videos once a week directly to you. And then once a month, we meet on a topic of your choice. We meet digitally, video-wise, to talk about leadership in life and how we can do better things going forward. It's a phenomenal program. It's called In Studio. That's my number one more time. One of the very first pieces I'll encourage you to do is to begin journaling. I don't know if you journal or not, but I'm begging you to start tracking your life. We track miles if you're in sales. Track your life. Track your life and track the ability we have to influence those around us. So 314-626-4421, that's the number of your email. Text, hit send, be done. I'll take care of the rest. The very first text you'll get back, by the way, is a link to Big Brothers Big Sisters. What a coincidence. Whether you do it right this moment, which I encourage you to do, or tonight or tomorrow, consider clicking that link and learning more about this wonderful organization. While you consider it, I'm going to play you another song on the piano because I heard some whispers. I bet he only knows one song. It sounded like Dick James. I'm not sure who said it, but I'm going to prove that to be false. Here comes another song while you make your commitments, while you step forward. Here it is. Anybody know who sang that song? It's not the Verpipe. Coldplay. What's the song called? Scientist. What's the refrain on that song? Nobody said what? Nobody said it was easy. Huh. My wife, Beth, and I went to that concert, I believe, last October with some friends. And with 20,000 other people in the stadium, we sang back the words to Coldplay. Nobody said it was easy. It was awesome. We sounded pretty good, actually. And then we got to the car. It was like the 11th floor of a garage next to the place where they had the concert. And everybody's honking and flicking everybody else off and getting mad and angry because they forgot the words of the song they just sung. Nobody said it was easy. Life's not, and leadership's not, and love is not, but it is all worth it. And we live in a community that I think is absolutely starved for it. So I encourage you in any way you can to be generous. That's all. Just be generous because the marketplace is starved and hungry for it. You'll be joining a community of like-minded leaders, including this man. He was the first one to step into our community, Mike Lopez. Mike may even be here tonight. and then Jill, and then these four. And all great movements always start small, one by one by one, and then this group joins. And then it continued to swell. And then there were a few more that stepped aboard. When we launched, almost 900 people said, I'm in. I believe I can do even more through my life. And so I just encourage you guys and ladies, join us in studio. It's phenomenal. It will teach and challenge you to ask the questions, why me and who cares, and ultimately, what more can I do?
Stay tuned. More of Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, coming up on KMOX. Now, back to Live Inspired, an evening with John O'Leary, sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects, Shape the Inspired, on KMOX.
I ask you to take a deep breath, because you are about to be, I think, in awe of a performer, of a phenomenal leader, of a guy who has not only written a number one song and opened up for Kiss and rocked some stadiums, but a guy who earned it and then lost it and has figured out what real success and significance looks like. So would you please get ready to welcome to the stage our third friend tonight. His name is Brian Vander Ark, all the way from Michigan. Give him a huge St. Louis welcome. You're awesome.
Thank you. I got a little setup to do here. John, do you have the remote by any chance here? Just like at home. Who's got the remote? How are you, St. Louis? Good to be here.
Faith in yourself has opened another door. Trust in yourself. Find what you're looking for. Forgive yourself for past mistakes. 'Cause in your heart you've got what it takes to hold on. And keep your eyes on the road ahead. Running starts with a single step. So rise, rise. You've got to answer the call. It's a new revolution. Rise. Until you're standing tall, you got to be a solution. Time to catch the wave. Life is all highs and lows. And others fall behind. We'll lend a hand to those. Together we can rise to the test, facing challenges by being the best we can be. And we all have a talent to bring. Together we can do anything. So until you're standing tall, you gotta be a solution. We can make more with what's in our hand. No matter where we are or where we've been, we have the strength and the power to win. So rise, rise. You gotta answer the call. It's a new revolution. Rise. Until you're standing tall, you gotta be a solution. And rise. Until you're standing tall, you gotta be a solution.
Thank you, St. Louis. Thank you. Thanks, John. John, thank you. Come on up, buddy. Come on up.
How about one more big hand for Brian Vander Ark? Well done. So for weeks, I've been looking forward to the freshman. But my takeaway leaving here tonight is rise. Woo! Rise. rise. And that's something we will do collectively in about 21 minutes. I know many of you have been seated for a long time. Many of you are ready to rise. You'll get that chance. Give me about 19 and a half minutes plus a little bit of work together, and then we'll rise together. We had three questions to talk about tonight, though, and we've only chatted about two so far. What was our first question?
Why me?
Why me? Rise. What was our second question?
Who cares?
Anybody remember the third? So tonight, as we get ready to rise and return toward our cars and our families and our lives, realizing that we are the solution and a marketplace starved for your solutions that you have to offer, I want to finish with a story about a guy who rose and the impact that this person made in my life, and I hope that he or this person made in each of our lives. 30 years ago, a little boy named John O'Leary was in a house fire. I think I'm recycling information already, but here we go. A day after I came into the hospital, I found myself tied down to this bed, unable to move anything. Can't move my arms or my legs. My lungs have been burned. So I can't breathe. They put a hole in my neck. What's the hole called? So I got a trach, which now I can breathe, which is beautiful, but it meant back then I was unable to speak. So I can't speak, I can't drink, I can't eat, I can't move, I can't rise. I'm struggling mightily. I'm asking all the right questions. Do you know what my favorite question was back then? Why me? Other boys were doing the exact same thing. Why me? Why me? But on occasion, I'd leave the darkness, come back into the light, rise, at least emotionally and spiritually, with the ability to dream and hope and pray and imagine and set crazy goals. And with my eyes swollen shut, I could listen. Have you guys and ladies ever realized how much more you hear when your eyes are shut? So some of you have been listening intently ever since Charlie Brennan came on stage. I'm not judging. I'm glad you're listening. Good for you. You're all in. Well, in this community, yes, we have 102.5 and we have 98.1 great stations, and we also have this other station you may have heard of. Over to my left, your right. 1120 KMOX brings us all kinds of phenomenal radio, including baseball. The way I used to watch my favorite team was not at Busch Stadium 2. It was not on Fox Sports Midwest. It was on 1120 KMOX. My mom and dad would tuck me in at night. They would walk down the hall. There was a board about 7 steps down toward their bedroom. And when they hit that board, it would squeak, and I knew they weren't coming back. And so with them gone for the night, I don't know even where they went back then. Parents just leave you. And I would grab my little radio, put it under my pillow, and listen to the voice of a guy I fell in love with. His name was Jack Buck. Have you ever heard of that name? Jack Buck was my... He was my hero. I never met the guy. I had the good fortune, though, of hanging out with him every single night on 1120. I loved him. I loved baseball, and I loved his voice. I loved the way he told me what was happening in ways you can't be told through your eyes, but only through your ears. It's a great, great way to listen. I got burned on a Saturday. Sunday afternoon, I'm stretched out in darkness, tied down on morphine, cannot do a thing except kind of hover there on the cliff of death, leaning forward toward it. And then on Sunday afternoon, my door opens up. It's January 18th now. Footsteps walk in. A chair comes across the floor. And then I hear this voice. And my spirits rise. Tell me, they rise. When Jack Buck brings light into my darkness through the words, listen to him. Kid, wake up. Rise. What he's really saying is this. You are going to live. You are going to survive.
keep fighting. John O'Leary Day at the ballpark will make it all worthwhile. And then he asks, kid, are you listening? To which I respond, it's a true story. And then he says, good, keep fighting, keep fighting. The man stands, he walks out, he leaves a 9-year-old boy tied down in darkness in a burn center on fire for life. One visit. One individual who made themselves, at least for one day, about something bigger than themselves. One visit changed my world. I learned later on from my dad that he made his way down to the nursing station, put his head against the wall like this, and just started weeping. Which, of course, we all know is the sign of great weakness. Yes? I mean, if you're crying every day at work, rise, okay? Do something different. But on occasion, if work and family and St. Louis and Ferguson and Charlottesville and floods and hurricanes and North Korea and South Korea, if that doesn't occasionally make you cry, you're not alive. And you should become alive. You should wake up, to paraphrase Jack Buck, wake up. Jack wept, not because he's a weakling, because he's strong, I think. He's empathetic. He gets life. Fought in World War II, picked up 2 Purple Hearts. He's a man's man. Who wept? One of the nurses here in town came over to him. This is like the only celebrity in town. So she gets down and says, Mr. Buck, are you okay? And the announcer looks back and says, I'm not sure. The little boy won't make it, will he? And the expert on her knees looks right into Jack Buck's eyes and says, Mr. Buck, there is absolutely not a chance. It's his time. You just let it go. It's his time. When this diagnosis shows up in our lives, and it will come, I promise you, not a chance. When it shows up in a relationship at home, and it will come. When it shows up in our community, and it has come to a degree, not a chance. Our best days are behind us. When it shows up, what we do next matters. Where we turn matters. The questions we ask will matter. And the manner in which we ask them will matter. What Jack does, he cries, he prays, he reflects, and journals on one question. He kept it simple. There is genius in simplicity. What more can I do? The following day, a little guy named John is hanging out in a burn center dying. It's Monday now. And I hear my door open up. And then I hear footsteps creep across the floor. They come all the way in. They rest near my bedside. And then I hear this voice. Kid, wake up. I'm back. You are going to live. You are going to survive. Keep fighting. John O'Leary Day at the ballpark. It'll make it all worthwhile. Kid, are you listening? See you soon. And then he leaves. The visits were very short. So I guess what we can all agree is that Jack Buck was a selfish man. Is that something all 750 of us agree upon? Of course. No? What we can agree is this then. 2 things. 1, Jack Buck was an emotional guy. The reason the visits were short is not because he didn't care, it's because he cared so much it brought him to tears. And it's okay. That's one thing we should agree on. The second thing is this. The 8 seconds he provided that little boy in the burn center, they were enough. I think frequently the reason we don't swing by the hospital, we don't call home, we don't write a personal letter, we don't pat someone on the back or give them a big hug, is because it takes forever. It takes forever. We're busy. It takes forever. She's an old neighbor. She's fine. It takes forever. Jack Buck used his 8 seconds well, came back into a little boy's life, not only on that second visit, but on the 3rd and the 4th and the 5 months of visits that followed. And in those 8 seconds, he changed my life. He elevated what I thought. He encouraged me, Brian Vander Ark, to rise. Brought me home. A month later, we go downtown, and we have something called John O'Leary Day at the ballpark. That's me on the left. Like my mom and dad, Whitey Herzog and I, we cut our hair in the exact same fashion too, okay? It's... And then Jack Buck rolls me in this little wheelchair to an elevator. We take this awesome ride up to the sixth floor of whatever, Busch Stadium. He rolls me to the press box. There's a guy with dark hair, Shannon, I think was his name. And he puts a big microphone in front of me, and we broadcast the Cardinal game on John O'Leary Day at the ballpark. Jack would say things on live radio like, how tall is Brian Vander Ark, by the way? I mean, what's his deal? He's showing up always. He would say things like, it's John O'Leary Day at the ballpark. He's with us, kid. Are you having fun? And on 11:20 KMOX Mini, we're listening that night, I'm sure, I would look back in Jack and say, great interview. I'm a quiet kid, so he knows I don't talk much. I'm a wheelchair-bound child, so he knows I have limited opportunities. I have no fingers. I have scars that cover me from my neck still to my toes. They haven't gone away. Jack sees everything that's wrong. And if that's all you want to see in your life or your community, have at it. Be joined by the masses. Have at it. But there's another way to view it all. Not to ignore the bad, but to acknowledge it and then to imagine what it can be transformed into, to rise. The word resurrected was used for one of his albums, to rise. When you see this little boy, besides the neck brace and the scars, and that Cardinal hat. I was into bling before anybody else in our community, okay? And I'm not trying to brag, but I led the way forward. Besides all that bling, what else jumps off that image at you tonight? Smile. Do you see the smile? Cover up his little mouth. Do you still see a smile? Is he still happy? Yes or no? Yes. Where's the smile? Yes. Jack sees the joy and the pain. And what he knows, and each of us knows when we're honest, is they always play together. I had the honor of speaking in Nashville on Monday. On the drive back from Nashville, I noticed an Amarin truck going the opposite direction on the highway, which I thought that was cool. And then I saw four more Amarin trucks. And then I saw a whole bunch of trucks from other parts of the city, other parts of the country, other states around us that I'd never heard of. By the end of the time that I crossed that bridge, saw the arch, came home, I counted more than 125 power trucks. Were they going to Nashville? Where are they going? The pain and the joy show up as one. Keep your eyes not only at what's wrong, but also what's right, because it's there if you want to see it. I saw 125 examples of it on Monday. Jack saw what was wrong and what was right. He cried, he prayed, he reflected, and asked one question. It's on the board. What more can I do? The following day, a little 9-year-old boy is hanging out at home. My mom goes to the mailbox, brings in a cardboard box. Inside is the baseball you see in front of you tonight. And below that is a note from Jack Buck, that red kid, if you want a second baseball. All you have to do is send a thank you letter to the guy who signed the first. Just one problem, Jack. What's the problem? There's many problems, but one of them is I don't have fingers. I can't hold anything in my hands. Do you think Jack Buck knew that I could not write? Yes or no?
Yes.
So why would he make me do something he knew ahead of time I can't do? Motivate you, encourage you, inspire you. My mom was trying the exact same stuff. What she would do, come into my room with a little pen. She would try to hand it to me. And she would say in her beautiful voice, baby, when you learn how to write again, you get to go back to school. Mom, I'll try. My hands just hurt today. I can't. Does a 9-year-old kid want to go to school? Yes or no? Does a Cardinal fan want a second baseball?
Yes.
Jack met me where I was. You heard a story earlier from Jason with this gentleman who was his big, who brought him to Steak and Shake, cheese fries. He met him where he was. So then meeting people where they were. That's what Jack, that's the genius, I think, of Jack Buck, meeting people where they were. Do you think I wrote the note to Ozzy, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes, I heard someone say. Oh, yes. Mailed it off. A couple days later, I'm at home in a wheelchair. Mom comes in from the mailbox. There's a second baseball with a second note that reads, kid, if you want a third baseball. Mom, bring me a pen. What's taking you so long, woman? Bring me a pen. What are you guys always doing over there? I mailed this note off. A couple days later, I got a third baseball with a third note that said, kid, if you want a fourth. Are you seeing where this is going? Yes or no?
Yes.
1987. I know many of you know this story, but it blows me away every time I share it. It shocks me. Hope it shocks you. A busy man sends a little nobody named John O'Leary 60 baseballs. 6-0. Teaching him to shift from being a nobody to being a somebody. Teaching him how to write again. Changed my life. Which freed me to go back to grade school. He backdoored it. It's all right. Grade school was followed by high school. 4 years there. I went to DeSmet, if that's your question. Think bigger. It's not all about high school. But that's where I went. Spent 4 years at DeSmet. Then I got to spend 9 years at SLU, which was good. They were good days. Graduated, and graduation night, the miracle finally shows up. My friends, I know you've been seated for a while. You are ready to rise. Hang on for it. I never dated in grade school, middle school, high school, or college. That's a long drought, okay? Lord, let it rain. Nothing. And then graduation night, right on time, love shows up. And love's gorgeous. And I'm not trying to brag, but I will. Can I show you the picture of love from that night? Yes or no?
Yes.
Here she is. Isn't she awesome? Who'd you expect? What'd you expect? Love. Not lust. Not a girlfriend. Not wife material. Not someone to cover up my many, many, many flaws. But love. Sometimes love looks like a 19-year-old brunette named Elizabeth Grace. Oh, she's gorgeous, too. Wait until you meet her. She's beautiful. But that's not who shows up graduation night. Who shows up that evening is a 77-year-old man with Parkinson's disease, like what my dad has, and stage 4 lung cancer. And yet the awesome thing about Jack Buck, he showed up. It is so much easier to stay at home and to point the finger. Jack Buck had the audacity while dying to teach the rest of us how to really live. He shows up with a package and a note. What do you think the first word on the note was?
Good.
I'm not sure he ever knew my first name. Okay. All of you know more about me than Buck ever knew. Kid. This means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you too. Enjoy, it's yours. I open up the package, look inside, and before I show you, and I know some of you know, but before I show you what it gave away, first you gotta identify Jack's favorite question. What more can I do to ensure tomorrow's even better than today? In our family, at our stations, in our community, at work, in your health, in your faith journey, what more can I do? Kid, this means a lot to me. I hope it means a lot to you too. Enjoy, it's yours, kid. This is the baseball that I received when I went into the Hall of Fame. It's made of crystal. It's priceless. There's only one like it in the entire world. Don't drop it, okay? And the final words Mr. Buck ever wrote to me or spoke to me were these. I think they're so appropriate for tonight and every night. Listen to them. Listen. It's yours. It's yours. Everything I got. All my talents, all my ability. Boom, I'm breathing it out. It's yours. What an awesome way to drop the mic at the end of a career. What an awesome way to pass the baton in our families. It's everything I know. It's yours. It's all yours. Always has been. It's yours. Jack taught a little boy to believe, to rise, to imagine goals, to achieve, to move forward, and to choose something bigger than himself, which freed me to start imagining more of myself, which I think led to this picture, also known as the greatest sales job of my life. Okay? I know Van Der Ark made a few million bucks. That's a good sales job. This is by far the best sales job of my life. She, her name is Elizabeth Grace, we call her Beth, has given me this little man, named after one of the great inspirations in our life. What's his name?
Jack.
Although we may legally change it to Damn It Kid. So if, I don't know if any of you are attorneys. I'll be around in the lobby with you eating donuts, moving merchandise, impacting a charity in town. Jack is the name of our child. And now he has a little brother. His name is Patrick. And when I'm out of town traveling, my wife is not wild about me being gone. So what she'll do when I'm on the road is she'll take my two handsome little fellas and then to punish me. Okay. She'll dress them. She calls them Sunday smocks. I rip off the Sunday smocks when I get home. Get them back in their cardinal gear. Tell those boys I love them. And there's nothing they can do about it. Now, this can be a funny line you use tonight with a stranger, or it can be a transformative line you use tomorrow. I love you. There's nothing you can do about it. Watch how it changes the conversation that unfolds afterwards. I love you. I encourage you maybe not to say those words aloud. It may freak out the barista or your colleagues at work. I tell those boys to love their little brother. His name is Henry. And in St. Louis, Missouri, they just keep showing up. Okay? It's awesome. Now they come in both varieties. We have a new little girl, and her name is Grace. You find, though, and this is not always easy to share, but I'll tell it. You find if you travel too frequently that two parents who both have dark hair. Can have two kids with blonde. So we're gonna come back next year and talk about forgiveness. It's gonna be, we'll be at Busch Stadium for that one. Bring your ex, bring your spouse, bring them all, man. Bring the whole family. When you see this picture, St. Louis, when you see this picture, family and friends, do you see hair color first? No, huh? Do you see skin tone first? Oh, no? Do you see, I wonder what political affiliation he is. No? I wonder where he worships, or if he even does. Is that what you see? All this stuff that divides. None of it shows up. You see a picture of love. It makes you smile and laugh, and hopefully think back to your own journey, and your own family, and your own lives. Perfectly imperfect, but it's ours, and it's yours. What a gift. This year, by the way, 30 years since John O'Leary not only got burned, 30 years since he came home from the hospital, and then 30 years since we had John O'Leary Day at the ballpark. In March, in part to celebrate the anniversary, I spoke to our St. Louis Cardinals down in Jupiter, which was such a treat. But then they asked if I might want to come back and throw out the first pitch at John O'Leary Day at the ballpark 3 decades later. What do you think my answer was? I got to meet Fred Birdman. Dreams come true. Who else is on the other side of Fred Bird? Who's that pitcher? He has not lost since he hung out with me on that day, just to call it out. Okay, I'm not trying to take credit for Weaver's success, but it's mine. They asked me to throw out the first pitch. Does anyone see a possible problem with that? I mean, are you kidding? I can barely hold this. I can't get my fingers, what are left of them, wrapped around a ball. I have no wrist movement. I can't raise my shoulder. I can't throw a baseball. But my mother and my father taught me a simple answer to requests and opportunities in life when I was little. Yes. Let's go, man. Let's try it. With the help of three little boys at home, I had an awful lot of practice. And then I stood on the mound in front of hundreds of thousands of fans. It's an exaggeration intended.
The ball was slippery. I had no grip on it. I was very nervous as my boys who had trained me looked on. And this is what Fred Bird saw. You tell me if he made the right call or not. Oh, no. Oh, no. Abby, can you guys move it back to the video slide? Ignore what you see up there. We're not going to sing along tonight. Trust me, okay? Like, that would never happen here. We are going to play that video. I don't care what that computer says. While we wait for them to get the video back up, let me finish the story. Wait for it. Shall we? Let's make some noise. You guys want to see the first pitch? But this was much more awesome. After hugging Fredberg and hugging Weaver, I got to walk over to my family. I got to first hug my wife, who I'm still wild about. And she doesn't hear me speak a whole lot, so she's here in the audience tonight. So I wanted to have my bride, Elizabeth Grace Beth O'Leary, rise, and let me recognize her presence and her beauty. She's awesome. I'm so fortunate to be married to her. That's true. It's humble brag, but it is true. I got to hug my babies, and then I got to walk over to my mom and dad. 30 years earlier, my dad pushed me onto the AstroTurf at Busch Stadium. 30 years later, his son, on John O'Leary Day at the Ballpark, Part 2, got to push his dad onto the field at Busch Stadium. My dad has Parkinson's disease, and in a room of 759, he is by far the most joyous man or lady in this room. He's here with us today along with my mom, and I want to recognize both mom and dad. They're back there. Rise. So those three that just stood are my inspirations in life, and I think in no small part now yours too. They have taught me to rise. And Jack has taught all of us to ask a bold question of ourselves. Don't wait for someone else to do it. Don't wait for someone else to rise and make a difference. Rise. Rise. And that is our calling each day, to get out of bed, to ask the question, why me? Then who cares? Then dance through that day, finishing strong. What more can I do? What more can I do? We are getting ready to wrap up. And I do want you to think for a moment, because I'm going to personally ask each one of you what you committed to as you walk out tonight. While we eat donuts together and give generously to worthy causes, right in the lobby, what you commit to? What was your takeaway? You heard a kid, Jason, stand up one more time, who had no chance, but he rose with the help of others. Would you guys give Jason one more big hand? And then you heard the story of a guy named Brian Vandark who had it all right, man, playing Cat Stevens and doing the right things, made it big, lost it all, and then figured out what mattered again, teaching us all again tonight to rise. Two great stories. And then you heard some stories from John O'Leary and his family and Jack Buck. What's your takeaway? What are you going to do with it? This isn't a movie. It's not a dress rehearsal. This is life. What do you do with it? It's not as you get ready to make your commitments. On my Apple Play, don't tell Brian Vandark that I stream music, but I do. The first song on my playlist, by the way, here are some ways we can stay in touch if you should be interested. If you've never read the book On Fire, there have been at least 4 copies sold in our community. We have plenty of material available for you tonight in the lobby with the donuts. The donuts are free. Ways we can stay in touch. But when I turn my phone on in my car, there's always a song that pops up first, alphabetically. So it always comes up first.
And it's this song. A few days ago, now a few weeks ago, I had little Grace, that's my daughter with blonde hair. In a car seat behind me, and she's like my little wingman. I adore this girl. And she says, "Dad, this song always puts me in a good mood. It makes me happy. It makes me happy." And I was able to look back in the little mirror and say, you know, me too. So I started learning it on the piano. And I'm still learning it, okay? So it kind of starts out like this. That's kind of how it begins. But I'm still learning it. And I figure when you have rock stars in the house and they're back there partying, that's so unfair. So why not bring the rock star back up on stage and maybe the two of us can rock this out. Yes. And Mike Mattingly, did you enjoy the opening music as you walked in tonight? Yes. Mike is making his way downstage, grabbing his guitar. I'm going to kind of be quiet in a moment, and Vander Ark, the rock star, is going to take it over. But the three of us and Jason.
Jason, where's Jason?
He's right here. He's on tambourine tonight. Give Jason a big hand. Before we start playing this song, here's what's going to happen. We are going to do a sing-along. We are going to sing it loud and proud, baby. You are going to rise.
For the balcony.
All of us. And then we're all going to hang out next door in the lobby and spend the last 40 minutes of the night at the Sheldon in fellowship having a blast. So yeah. I do invite you to rise.
You've been listening to a special KMOX presentation, Live Inspired, An Evening with John O'Leary. Sponsored by Mackie Mitchell Architects, Shape the Inspired. To hear An Evening with John O'Leary once again, just log on to KMOX.com/inspired.
All you need is love.
Come on!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.